Genesis chapter 8. If you find your place, you'll stand with us. Begin reading in verse number 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. After the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. The waters decreased continually unto the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. He stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him. You can be seated. Of course, we're dealing with windows. And we find another window here in the book of Genesis chapter 8. And, of course, the story, we know the text here where God has judged the earth because of their wickedness. The Bible says wickedness of his heart was only evil continually. And it sounds like the day we're in today, where man's heart is only on evil continually. And God made a promise, we know that, with a rainbow in the sky. And although it's been perverted in many ways, the rainbow is God's sign to us that he'll never flood the earth again by water. But by next time, it'll be by fire. Those 120 years that Noah preached and told them to get right with God and told them of coming judgment was a message we know that went unheeded by all but about 8 souls that listened to what Noah, they thought he was stark raven mad, just like the world thinks that we're crazy and mad. And we're living in days, I would say, we're living the days of Noah. Would you agree? Amen. It's like unto that. God let man live a long time back in the day. Noah was 600 years old when we went on the ark. God made a statement here. He said his numbers are going to be 120. God would not let man live past 120 years old after this point. The reason being is because he knew how wicked man can get in the older years of his life. He had the strength and the ability and the depths of sin he'd go to. And that's what they were doing in these days. But I want to look at this scripture tonight on this window in the ark. And there's two reasons we find, or two purposes for the ark, window in the ark. We're given here in the scripture, God told him to make a window in the ark. God told him to put a door in the ark, but there was also a window in the ark. And the Bible says that on the first day of the month, verse number 5, were the tops of the mountains seen. Then, in verse number 6, it says, "And came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And there's two birds that he sent forth, a raven and a dove." I'd like to preach on this thought tonight with the help of the Lord. What kind of bird is looking for you? What kind of bird is looking for you? I'm not necessarily interested in what kind of birds you are, but what kind of bird is looking for you? Noah let out two birds, as I said before, a raven and a dove. Of course, if you've done any kind of Bible study whatsoever, you know that a raven represents the flesh and carnality. And of course, a dove represents peace. It also is a picture of the type of the Holy Ghost. And peaceful, gentle spirit that the Holy Ghost is. But some would say, well, Noah let out the raven by accident, or he didn't know that the raven wouldn't come back. I want to say Noah knew exactly what he was doing when he let the raven and the dove out. Noah knew the nature of the two birds. Now, before we get too excited about being saved, and I'm not saying too excited, I didn't mean that by no means, but before you do get too confident about being saved and thinking that you can conquer the world, you got to realize that you still got your flesh nature. Now, I think you ought to be excited about being saved. Certainly, I didn't mean it that way, but I think that you have to take into consideration, you need no not have too much confidence. I'm telling you, we ought to have confidence in Christ. Amen. A lot of folks think they get saved, and they think everything is going to, amen, be hunky-dory. But I want to say this, we have still got a flesh nature that we have to contend with and that we will contend with till the day that we die. Now, I can tell you this for sure. Somebody said, "Well, I don't have an issue with that." You're a liar. Amen. That's right. Our flesh can get the best of us. I'm not talking about living in necessarily gross sin, but I'm talking about the flesh just getting the best of us many times. Somebody can say something crossways to you, and you'll want to smack their head off. And you know as well as I do, you'll go around for days thinking of a rebuttal that you can answer them with. You say, "What is that?" That's the flesh, man. That's exactly right. You'll think of every narrative. You'll think of every comeback. You'll think of everything that you've ever heard in your life. You'll Google it. You'll internet it. And you'll think, this is the kind of person is. How do I respond to this person? What is that that makes you dwell on something like that? Makes you desire some kind of rebuttal? Listen, even Jesus, when he was smitten, he smote not again. Now, I'm not saying lay down like a carpet mat or anything like that. But I am saying this, there is a spirit that Jesus had. There is a attitude that he had of being and walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 17. I want to read to you a verse of Scripture there. The Bible says this, verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now there is a possibility that you can fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Let me say something about the flesh and the Spirit. They are contrary one to another. They do not get along. They will not ever get along. They're contrary one to the other. And so when you're trying to do what is right, I'm going to say the flesh many times will go against you. And when you're doing what is wrong, thank God the new nature comes into play. That new nature that you have, the divine nature of God, the new man, and he'll say, this is not right. You say, preacher, that sounds like somebody that's bipolar. You're exactly right. If you wasn't bipolar before you got saved, you're bipolar now. Right. Because you're going to have this flesh to deal with the day you die. You didn't have that new nature when you were lost. But now you do. The Bible says here, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So these are contrary one to another. So there's constantly going to be a fight. There'll always be a battle. I remember, I heard years and years ago, I've been preaching 25 years, and I might have been John or somebody. We was talking with a bunch of young preacher boys, and somebody had said, well, I asked Milford Biddle if it got any easier when he got older. He said, no, I think it gets harder. And I would agree with that. The older I get, it seems like the temptations the flesh wants to rise up more and more. And the battle is there. If you're not battling the flesh right now, you need to thank God, because sometime or another you're going to be battling the flesh. So they're contrary. Number two, I would say they're not compromising. In other words, the flesh is not going to compromise and give the Spirit a little bit of ground. And the Spirit part of us, the new nature, is not going to compromise and give the old nature ground. You can't have it both ways. There are going to be they're not compromising. In other words, you can't straddle the fence. You can, but you can't be right with God. They're contrary one another. They're compromising. But also, one of them's going to be controlling in your life. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. I thought about this as we look at this. When the raven went out to look, it was looking for one thing. And that was flesh. It's what the raven was looking for. Noah knew that. Noah knew very good way. He was aware of the nature of the raven. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the nature of a raven is. But also he knew the nature of the dove also. Noah here was filling out, and he was seeing trying to fill out what was happening on the outside of the ark. What was going on? The raven, the Bible says, went to and fro. In other words, the raven was able to rest on the dead animals in the flesh. Can you imagine the stench and the nastiness that was out there? Dead bodies, the carnality that was there. But the raven set out to look for death and flesh, but the dove set out to look for life. And so the dove found no rest, the Bible says, for the sole of her foot. Now, I want to mention several things here. What are ravens looking for? Or raven is looking for a place where he can manifest himself. So is the dove. The raven is the flesh, and they're attracted to flesh or carnality. When you look at a raven, and I think about this, the raven will come looking for you. And our enemy would like nothing else than for you to live in the flesh, because there'll be some things that'll be attracted to you and come to you. Here this raven is looking for a place to land. The flesh is looking for a place to land. He'll find a place if you give him space.
That's right.
I thought about the raven. When you think of the flesh, what all is the flesh? We could get on into the works of flesh and all that. The Bible talks about it, but I think about this at all. I guess we could sum it up into number one is critical attitude. When you get into envy and strife, and just a critical attitude towards things, a bad attitude. I'm going to tell you, the flesh is going to come looking for a bad attitude.
Yes, sir.
Come looking for a critical attitude. Let me tell you this. When I first started in the ministry, I had to be real careful. And I wasn't really at times. Because I had everything in line, I thought. I mean, I had all the outward, I thought, was in line. I was like, man, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. But if I wasn't careful, and I wasn't many times, I'd come across with a critical attitude. And you know what that made me do? That made me absolutely miserable. You know what I did? I went looking for other people that had critical attitudes. That's right. That's who I went looking for. And not only a critical attitude, but I think a carnal actions is part of the flesh. That's right. Carnal actions are going to come looking for the flesh. We could talk about all that. Our outward things. I'm going to tell you, you can live after the flesh. You can be carnal as a billy goat. That's right. Eating the trash and eating the junk. A billy goat don't care what he eats. A raven really don't either. But I thought about the carnal actions that we can manifest. And I want to say this, the flesh is going to come look for somebody that's wanting to act carnal in their actions outwardly. Listen, I believe we ought to have an inward attitude that's right, but I believe we ought to have an outward attitude that's right also. And I've heard people say, well, it don't matter how you look on the outside. I don't find that in the Bible. I find that we're to dress in modest apparel. I find that we're to present ourselves well. I find that we're to have the joy of the Lord on our face. We're supposed to be that way. But I also notice here that one of the acts of the flesh would be complacency and apathy. That's right. Complacency and apathy. A person that is complacent and apathetic is in the flesh. And I want to tell you, that's one of the most dangerous places to be as a child of God, is to be complacent and apathetic. I don't care. I'm not talking about you, Marvin. That's right. Amen. That's just Marvin's go-to word. You know, what do you want? Beef or chicken? I don't care. Whatever. But I'm talking about spiritually having a complacent attitude is just, I don't care. I don't care about my spiritual growth. I don't care about my Bible reading. I don't care. I'm just here. And I'm going to tell you, that's a bad place to be in your Christian life. As I'm just existing, complacency and apathy. As when you get to the place where you don't have any desire whatsoever to get closer to God. You don't care if anybody else does or not. But I also thought about this. There's a considerations that we look at, considerations of attractions here. You ever seen a raven? They don't eat alone, do they? Let me just say this. If you ever see a dead animal on the side of the road and a raven's gathered around it, you'll see not just one, but you'll see two or three or four. And they seem to like it. The more ravens, the better, because they're not stingy like a dog or something. Bark the other way. They're like, come on in. We're having a feast. We're eating the dead flesh. We're having a good time. Come on down. Join us. We want some company here. We want somebody to join us. Let me just say this. Carnal people like carnal people. That's right. Hey, amen. I've seen it before, and I thought, why in the world would so-and-so go to advice or so-and-so take counsel from that person? I'm going to tell you why. It's because they are carnal. And they don't want godly advice. They want company. carnality attracts carnality. And so the flesh, and here ravens are just looking for a place to, they're looking for a place to feast. They're looking for other ravens. And I want to say this, you can be that which attracts the ravens, or you can be that which attracts a dove. Because the ravens are going to manifest themselves in the flesh. Certainly are. So, people that are not right with God and they're acting carnal and they're getting carnal, I'm going to tell you, they'll run to those that are carnal. I'm going to just say this, and if you're carnal and you're fleshly, you're going to attract others to you. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you, somebody that's wobbling, somebody that's teetering, they're not, if it depends on which way they're wanting to go, but they're not going to go find the most spiritual person in the church to hang out with. Right. They're going to go find the most carnal ones to hang out with. You say, how do you know that? I've seen it enough times to know that it is true. And we can take the example of the raven physically to know that that's exactly right. Amen. I'm not talking about even being out in sin or getting out in church. I'm just talking about living carnally. Just living a carnal, fleshly lifestyle where our life is consumed by media and all that kind of things and the trash talk and all that. But what is the flesh? It's our sinful, uncontrolled appetite. All right, let's look at the dove for just a minute. The dove. We see it's a type of the Holy Spirit. And what is it that the dove is going to manifest itself in? Let me just say this. You're going to attract a dove or you're going to attract a raven. And the dove is going to manifest itself in you, or on you, should we say that. The raven will manifest itself on you if you're fleshly and carnal. Or, thank God, the Holy Ghost will manifest itself on you if you're walking in the Spirit. Thought about the doves, the type of the Holy Spirit. It's attracted to, what did I say the dove was attracted to? The raven's attracted to what? Flesh and death. The dove is attracted to what? Life. Yes. And purity. And here the Bible says in this scripture, in our text, the raven which sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Now the raven didn't die. It did not get killed by a predator, but the Bible says it stayed to and fro. What do you think it was doing while it was waiting for the waters to abate, completely abate from off the earth? He was having a feast. Going to and fro. I mean, everything he seen, everything that was floating, everything that was there, he was on it, brother. But I thought about the dove. The Bible says here about, it says about the dove, and he sent forth the dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She found no rest for the sole of her foot. Now, let me just say this about the dove. When we look at how it manifests itself, what the Spirit is going to be attracted to, those that find no rest in the world. You want to be Spirit-filled? You want to be a Spirit-filled Christian and walk in the Spirit? You can't find any satisfaction or rest in the world. Dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. Now, I want to say it is possible, and I know, listen, It is possible as a child of God, we know this, to get sideways with God and to feast on the world. I know there's probably a lot of folks that there are that do it. That's right. Not every Christian listens to gospel music. I believe they're saved. Not every Christian watches movies that are becoming of a Christian. That's right. Not every Christian dresses appropriately. Not every Christian talks appropriately. That's right. And so the dove is attracted. If you want to have God on you, if you want to have God on you, you're going to be, and the Holy Ghost is going to be attracted. He's going to manifest himself. And listen, I certainly believe that when we're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you, that don't mean we're filled with the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that the Holy Ghost has manifested himself in our life. That's right. And I have seen people that had the glow of God on them, so full of God. I want to be that way, don't you? But I don't, listen, it's got to become a place in our life where we're no longer the world's attraction. We find no rest there. Actually, we're discontented with it. And we're not satisfied with it. And we're not going to rest in it. No, sir. Find also, find no rest. The dove is attracted to those, the Spirit of God will manifest itself in those that find no rest in the world. And also we find a fatigued return. I thought about this dove as she is flying to and fro. She's going back and forth, finds no rest. She finds no rest whatsoever. As she comes back in and she's fatigued in her return. And I want to say this, sometimes, it is. And sometimes you may get tired and you may think, well, this is not worth it. I'm just going to, I've seen people do that before. They get something comes along in their life, they get tired and they get weary and they get worn. Maybe sometimes they'll just say, well, what's the use? I'll just give in. That dove could have easily have landed on the carcass of a dead animal just as sure as the raven did. But I won't tell you, the nature was different. But we come in and we find here that she had a fatigued return. I want to say that she is faithfully received by Noah. Noah comes in. He knows this dove is tired. Look here what it says. She found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned to him into the ark, for the waters were off the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him in the ark, into the ark. And you know how it is. You can be spiritually drained. And I think of this dove as Noah's watching through that window, and here she comes a flapping her wings, and she's been all around, and she's flapping and she's flapping, and Noah's like, I wonder if she's going to make it. I wonder if she's going to make it back. And Noah reached out his hand and said, come here, come on. And the Bible says he took in her hand and took him in unto her in the ark. I believe Noah came and embraced that dove in his arms. I want to say this, if the world is tiring to you, if the world is beating you up, I want to say this, you can find rest in the arms of the Savior, thank God. You can find rest in His arms, but you ain't going to do that if a raven's looking for you, but you will if a dove's looking for you. She is faithfully received. But I also see the fruitful response here. A fruitful response. She sent out again. The Bible says, she come back this time with an olive branch plucked off. I say this, if you keep on looking, and I find here also there's fulfillment of a resolve here. She would not rest on anything less than that which was living. and that which gave life. So she had a resolve here. She brought back a fruitful response. And I want to tell you, all the Holy Ghost wants us to do is to bear fruit as a child of God, to bear the fruits of the Spirit. But there's fulfillment of her resolve here. Finally, she finds a home. Let me just say this. You keep on living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of flesh. And I want to say, one of these days you're going to go home. You're going to be satisfied. So what is it? And I'm going to mention three things and I'm done. Three things. Number one, when it comes to either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh, being carnal, we think of what kind of bird is looking for you. I look at three words and I'll be done. Number one, there's a want. What is your desire? What is your desire? The desire of our heart. Come here, Sawyer. Come here, Ethan. Come over here. Ethan's the flesh. Sawyer's the spirit. Now, it looks like he's been fed pretty good, don't it? Try. He's a healthy boy. You know why he's healthy? Because he's ate. And he's filled up. You know why he's a little boy? Because he ain't eating near much as Ethan has. Well, who's going to overpower who? If he's the flesh, he's got on an appropriate shirt. It's black. That's right. I need a little boy with a white shirt on. Anyway, he's got on an appropriate shirt. It's black. He's been fed the world. He's been fed the music. I mean, he gets it 8-10 hours a day of the world's music. And then he gets 8-10 hours a day of the world's TV shows. I don't know if that's as many hours in a day, 16, 20. Just fill his mind with all kind of trash talk from the world and all the carnal stuff that the world's got to offer. And just his mind on carnal things, lust and envy and all that stuff. And here's the spirit side of him. And all he gets, he don't even get an apple a day. Who is going to overpower? Maybe the spirit side hadn't read a verse in 3 or 4 days. Hadn't even read the Bible in 3 or 4 days. Hadn't even prayed in a week. But yet the flesh, boy, we're feeding it good. We're feeding it good. With all the social media and all the drama and the junk that goes on, we're piling it in. And all the carnality that comes along with it. Who is going to win? You think this little dude can beat him up? Try it. Hit him in the gut one time. Ethan's going to laugh. Let's switch places. Stand over here. Man, look at them. You ever seen such guns on a fella before? Woo! You need a concealed carry permit for that. But he's been reading the Bible. He's been studying. I mean, he's been on his phone. Instead of listening to ungodly music, he's listening to preaching. He's listening to verses in the Bible. Alexander Scurby. Here this little flesh is right here. He's a runt now because he ain't getting fed much. He's starving to death. Don't feed this fella. That's right. Because now you tell me, now, if they get in a fight, who's going to win? These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's right. Man, he wants to be big and strong, but I'm going to tell you, it's all a matter of, you say, man, that preacher just ain't helping me when he's preaching. That Sunday school teacher just ain't feeding me. Nah. I'm going to tell you what. He has got to eat every day. You got to starve this little fella out. He was a big fella. But you see what I'm saying? Whatever you want the most in life. If you want the flesh and you want a carnal life, you can have it. Am I right? I mean, it's just a matter of who you feed. I can give him a T-bone steak and I can give him nothing, or vice versa. The minute I start favoring this side, more than I start favoring him, and I starve Ethan out, and I put an apple in his mouth and bind and gag him and he can't eat, he's eventually going to die. He's going to shrink. And this guy is going to grow. See, so I just don't understand what the issue is. I'm going to tell you what the issue is. Who are you feeding, the spiritual man or the carnal man? And the spiritual man, and listen, once he gets to this point, this flesh here is no longer a threat to him. He's not to get confident, we're not to get too confident, but I want to say this. We keep feeding the spiritual man, feeding the spiritual man, feeding the spiritual man. You don't have to worry about being carnal, because when you start feeding the spiritual man, you're going to start starving the carnal man. You boys sit down. Thank you, fellas. So our want, what we desire the most. Listen, I would to God that I could put a desire in your heart. I would to God that I could. But I can't do it. We were talking to Beth last night. I'm sure she don't mind me telling this. We were talking about the Bible and stuff. She was over at the house and she said, and we were showing her things out of the Bible. She was learning things a little bit from us, not much, but she's doing that ABCs of Christian growth and stuff like that. She's starting on that, and she's like, man, I've been in church all my life when I was growing up. And she said, you know, I never learned all this stuff. It wasn't that it was not there to learn. It was there. Here's the thing. If you don't have a desire, you ain't going to learn nothing. And you ain't. That's the whole key to it. Is do I have a desire to feed my flesh or to feed the spirit man? Number two, not only a want. I forgot what it was. I'm looking. But a waiting. For the right time. Deliberating your next move. Deliberately waiting. I say this, don't get impatient. You say, I just don't feel like I'm progressing enough. Listen, if you stay in that book, you will. You will eventually grow. It's going to happen if you stay in that Bible, child of God. He said, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. Awaiting. But then let me say lastly, there's the warring. There's some things that you've got to hate and despise. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. My grandpa was probably one of the most spiritual men that I knew. And he was against things that wasn't even in the Bible. But anything that he thought that would hinder the spiritual man and give food to the carnal man, he put it out of his life. And I want to say this. Things that we do may not be wrong. Gotcha, man? But I'll tell you this. It may keep us from feeding the spiritual man. It may keep us from nourishing that spiritual man. Listen, there ain't anything wrong with going hunting or fishing and all that kind of stuff. and having some hobbies and all that. But I'm going to tell you this, and it may not be any sin within itself, but if it keeps you from feeding the spiritual man, then it's going to become a problem, and then it's going to lead to carnality. So, let me ask you this tonight again. What bird is looking to land on you? Is it the raven, the flesh? Is he going to find a home with you or manifest himself in your life? Or is it going to be like that olive tree that the dove lands on and says, I found me a place. I found me a place to manifest myself, manifest who I am. I want to say, it's what God wants. Lord, they're going to be manifesting. The flesh is going to manifest itself in us, or the Spirit is going to manifest itself in us. Let's all stand tonight.